Okay, the book of James. As you know from your lesson, was written by James, the half-brother of Jesus, believed to be one of a series of letters known as the general epistles. The others are 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st John, and Jude, all of which we will be studying except for Jude. And these letters were not written to a specific individual, but were written to a group of believers who were scattered abroad, forced to flee from their homes because of being persecuted for their faith. And boy, you just have to switch the news on. And if this is not relevant for us today, I don't know whenever it would be. And there are familiar scriptures through this book. So many scriptures that you know and you probably never knew they were in the book of James. Chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 5, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. A double-minded man, verse 8, is unstable in all his ways. Verse 17, and every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Verse 19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Chapter 2, verse 26, faith without works is dead. Chapter 3, verse 5, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. 16, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. Chapter 4, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Verse 14, life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Chapter 5, verse 12. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Verse 13. Is any suffering? Let him pray. Verse 14. Is any sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save him, and the Lord will raise him up. And then verse 16, the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. So many familiar scriptures are found in the book of James. And so, like I said, this book is so relevant for us today, as it was when James wrote it. It's considered one of the oldest books, so we get to see a picture of a new church, if you like, the beginnings. James knew what these believers had to give up, these scattered believers, because of persecution. Many had lost their homes, they'd lost their jobs, their income. Many had lost their families, many had lost everything. So when James writes to these believers, he knows what they're going through, and he knows why, and it was because of their faith in Jesus. And James wasn't writing from a safe place either. He stayed in Jerusalem, and he suffered much himself. But he had such a love and a compassion for these believers. He was a pastor to them, and he felt he was that pastor to them. And he eventually was killed for his faith. So James writes to this scattered flock. He knows exactly what they're going through, what they face every day, and he writes to them to help them, to equip them for all that they were facing. And I think we live in a culture today that we will do anything rather than suffer. Would you agree with that? We would. We will do anything that will bring relief rather than suffer. And you know what? We are not prepared for suffering. If you watch the news, so many refugees, so many people are being scattered all around this globe of ours. So many have been at war in their country for years, years and years. And we see the suffering. You can see it on their faces if you watch anything of the news. The people have little food. They've lost loved ones. Children have lost and are left alone. Their parents have been taken or been killed. And they, if you were to look at their lives and talk to them, they know suffering. They accept suffering as part of their life. It's been a way of life for them for many, many years. They would never be caught off guard. But we are. We are caught off guard. Someone has said, we live in a crybaby culture. If something goes wrong, it's someone else's fault, and we should sue. We feel we are owed a good life. But you know what? That is not the way it is. For us, we are ill prepared for suffering. And James writes to prepare us because suffering will happen. Trials are inevitable, but there is purpose in them. There is purpose. Testings, trials, temptations will come, but God has a purpose in each one. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, would you turn to the book of James? Just give you a minute to get them, or your paper or whatever it is that you like to just jot down some notes. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So how does James, in these few verses, transform our perspective on trials and tests and produce genuine joy? Well, it's when our joy is not dependent upon circumstances, but dependent upon the Lord in our circumstances. God allows us to go through testings, and the purpose is often twofold, but it's never to destroy us, but to prove to us the truth about ourselves. It helps if we can look at the situation not merely from the perspective of the immediate problem or trial, but also from the perspective of the end result that God is producing. Many years ago, and maybe you remember this, but I have shared it before, I heard a story about some scientists who decided to release a caterpillar from its cocoon when it first started to struggle. Well, they decided to release the cocoon to see what would happen if they didn't have to do all the struggling. There was about 100 caterpillars that they did this experiment with. And so they helped them. As soon as they saw that cocoon begin to break open, they began to open it so the cocoon would open and the butterfly would be released. But when that butterfly came out of the cocoon, sure, it had wings. But guess what? It couldn't fly. None of them could fly. You see, the struggle to get released from that cocoon brings the strength. Where there's no strife, there'll be no strength. When you think of a beautiful butterfly coming forth from a cocoon, and I know it, I love to see that. I love to see that butterfly come out. It's so beautiful when it opens its wings. But if it can't fly. And so it's because of the struggle. Struggles are what give you and I the strength. The struggles in our life help us to produce the strength that we need to go through the difficulties. If we didn't have any trials, we would be weak and immature. We may think we're strong in the faith, but until it's put to the test, we often find out that it's not as strong as you think it would be. And I know I can testify to that. The testings, the trials, the temptations prove to us the faithfulness of God. When we run to his word, when we cling and when we stand on his promises. I love what Malcolm shared. For those of you who were at Len Spangler's memorial service, he says, don't let what you don't understand rob you of what you do understand. I love that quote. Don't let what you don't understand rob you of what you do understand. And A.W. Tozer says, and I love this quote too, God may hurt you, but he never harms you. I love that. I have a poem I'd like to read. It's by Elizabeth Elliot, and you know I love poetry. I stood a mendicant or a beggar. I stood a mendicant of God before his royal throne and begged him for one priceless gift that I could call my own. I took the gift from out his hand, but as I would depart, I cried, but Lord, this is a thorn, and it has pierced my heart. This is a strange, hurtful gift that thou hast given me. He said, my child, I give good gifts. I gave my best to thee. I took it home, and though at first the cruel thorn hurt sore, its long years past I learned at last to love it more and more. I learned he never gives a thorn without this added grace. He takes the thorn to pin aside the veil that hides his face. There is purpose in those things that we go through. Verse 5 of first of James. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. When you don't know which way to turn, turn to God's word. There you'll find wisdom to help navigate through the storms that seek to shipwreck you and I. I heard many years ago, too, that wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. I love that. Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. Knowledge in God's word and wisdom to know how to apply his word to each trial, each testing and temptation that comes our way. I like what Kay Arthur says about this too. She says, to consider it all joy. Sounds a little insane. Why consider it joy when you're overwhelmed with pain, captured by disappointment? Because your God commands it. And he commands it because your obedient response will be the making of you. If the trial were not for your benefit and his glory, he would never have allowed it to sip through his fingers into your life. Not because he desires to hurt you, make you miserable, demoralize you, ruin your life, or keep you from ever knowing happiness. Rather, it's because he wants you to have every opportunity to be Christ-like and fruitful. God doesn't want you to have any regrets when you see him face to face. And in our lesson, it says in that nutshell part of the lesson, why do Christians endure temptations? Does God tempt people? If so, why? Is there a purpose in it? James realizes the importance of answering these critical questions, knowing that if we value most in life are the temporal creature comforts, then we will be more likely to have a meltdown and disobey God when trials come. If, however, what we prize is character building, then we will recognize hardships as opportunities to count it all joy. Think about those in our scriptures. We know Abraham proved his devotion to the Lord when he offered Isaac. Also, Job, remember Job, having lost his fortune, his family, and his friends, he falls on his face and he declares, naked I came into the world and naked I shall go out. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job proved his faith. And then Peter, 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So from James, we jump down to verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The crown of life. It's like the victory wreath given to the winning athletes. We find that in 1 Corinthians 9:25. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, but they do it to obtain a perishable crown. We do it for an imperishable crown. And then verse 13. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Temptations come from evil desires inside us. It begins with an evil thought, becomes sin when we dwell on the thoughts and allow it to become an action. Like a snowball, I know many of you have rolled around and made snowballs. When it's rolling down a hill, it kind of gets bigger and bigger. Well, sin grows more destructive the more we let it have its way. The best way to stop temptation before it's too strong or moving too fast and gets out of control, we find all these things, and I want to give you the references, Matthew 4, 1 through 11, 1 Corinthians 10:13, 2 Timothy 2:22, and that's the way of escaping those temptations. God has making a way for you and I to escape temptations. We have to take that way out. Verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This reminded me of when I lived in California. There was a pastor on staff called Pastor Romain, and he was a lot like James. He taught the book of James a lot. He was kind of like a sergeant major. I think he had been a sergeant major, and he sounded like a sergeant major. And he would often say, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. And then verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, then goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Much could be said about these, but it all boils down to faith without works is dead. And you know what? There is so much in this one chapter. There is no way we would be able to cover it all in an overview. And we have tried to keep it down to 15 minutes, but I guess I've must gone over. But there is so much. But you know what? We will get to go through all these different things as we go through the chapter in our groups, and so much to share. I want to just leave you with this one last thought. As you stroll, and many of us do, we meander, don't we, through the mall. Then, you know, in the middle now, they've started having these little booths, these little kiosk things. They drive me crazy because they come up to you and they're trying to pull you in, and you know, they're offering you the best thing that, you know, to take away the wrinkles. And I think they target people my age because they know we need help. They say this is the best thing, you know, try it, it's a miracle whatever it is, whether it's makeup or a product for your face or hair products. I mean, you've seen them all, right? They try to get you to buy these things. You know, they'll make you more glamorous. They'll slim you down. Just take it, a quick, easy pill, whatever. And then when we get home, you know, you switch the TV on and we're bombarded all the time with all these things, you know, the things that will make you look younger. But it doesn't take long, and especially if you fell to some of these things and bought their products, and you realize there is no quick way to do all those things that they say. Talk is cheap, right? We realize that. And all too often, the goods don't deliver what they promise. But interestingly, the same can be said of our spiritual life. James states that your worship, your faith, must involve qualities that are important to God. And the one is an active demonstration of compassion towards orphans and widows in their trouble. And then purity. We are to be pure. We're to be free from contamination, free from the pollution of what the world says we should be and look like and act like. We should be free from that. And so we have so many opportunities, especially when I think of the widows in our fellowship. And we know that Patty has just become one of those. And I want to encourage you in the next few weeks, you know, when things die down for her and she goes home to an empty home, please write little cards to her and just encourage her. And when you see her in church, go up to her and give her a hug, even if you don't know her. Just encourage. This is faith in action. Lord, help us to be not hearers, but to be doers of your word. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your word. Lord, how we desire to be women that are pleasing to you, to not just be a hearer, Lord, but to be a doer. And Lord, as you present to us opportunities all the time, throughout our day, help us, Lord, to put our faith in action, that in this dark world, people might see your light shining through us. Bless each group, I pray, Lord, today. May they encourage one another as they go through your word. May your Holy Spirit minister and bring all that is needed into our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.